The Bible is full of language to describe God. God is not like anything or anyone in the world. And yet, how can we know anything about God or speak credibly about God unless God is like something or someone we know? How can we relate to God and identify any experience as an experience of God unless God is identified in some way that's familiar? And so the Bible's language for God is often what we call metaphor. A metaphor for God is a word that says something descriptive about God, but it's not literal. To say God is a shepherd, for example, it's not a literal statement. God is like a shepherd in some way. In fact, even though the Bible provides all kinds of metaphors for God, words like creator, the Almighty, King, Mother, Father. But one of the most fascinating ones is that of shepherd. In fact, to call God shepherd in the way the Bible does it is to say some pretty radical things about God. To call Christ shepherd, it's even more radical still, and to call Christ lamb, it's radical beyond anything. So let's begin with shepherd and the most popular of Bible passages, the 23rd Psalm. At funerals, at weddings, in times of trouble, in times of joy. You know, the 23rd Psalm has been read, spoken, sung, and prayed all over the world for thousands of years. In fact, it's being read this morning, being part of the lectionary all over the world, no doubt. What is it about this mere 6 verses of poetry that gives it such evocative power? It's the beautiful metaphors. They make the relationship with God come alive. God is one we can get close to and one who can get close to us. God is one we can access and one who can be there for us in our darkest moments, our most wondrous moments, our times of celebration, and our times of despair. But throughout, the language about God is metaphor, focused on God as shepherd. What is it about a shepherd that makes God and the relationship with God so poignant? Well, unlike a king or queen who can be remote from his or her subjects, a shepherd is hands-on close to his or her sheep. There's intimacy. There's a feeling of comfort and protection. Now, protection doesn't mean bad things won't happen. Life is not like that for any of us. There are valleys of the shadow of death as much as there are green pastures and still waters. There are enemies all around, even as there is a wonderful table prepared for us. The power of the psalm is not so much protection from bad things happening, but restoration, renewal, guidance, vindication, and the empowerment of faith. I will fear no evil as I walk through the darkest valley because God is with me, even though at times God can feel absent. God is with me. It's an assurance. It's a call to faith, to trust in the darkness. God's shepherdly rod and staff are a comfort to me. Now, obviously, God doesn't literally have a staff or a rod, but just like a shepherd uses these tools as means to guide and protect the sheep, so God will guide and protect me no matter what happens. The language of the psalm is also powerfully personal. You know, God is my shepherd, and God restores my soul, and it is I who am walking through the darkest valley. It is I who am surrounded by enemies of all kinds. but is also I whom God anoints with healing oil? And it is I whose goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life and beyond. Now, if God is like that with me, and if I can connect with God, relate with God, and experience God in such personal ways, even as life can become really challenging, but to experience God in such personal ways, you know, how does that shape the kinds of relationships I form with others? The relationship with God and then my relationship with others. How is that influenced by this image? Well, while many versions of Christianity in history and today may describe God and relationship with God in terms of almighty power and control, God's in charge, God as shepherd challenges us. It challenges us to purge our heart's desire for such ways of relating with others, power, control, might, you know, purge that in favor of more compassionate and down-to-earth ways of connecting with others. You know, we are inspired to connect with others as equals, sharing our vulnerability rather than imposing our way. The hunger for control and power in us is purged as we open ourselves to ways of relating that evoke freedom and trust. And this takes us straight to our second reading from the gospel. If God as shepherd is language of comfort and guidance and protection and intimacy, this meaning is taken even further in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus refers to God as shepherd, but himself as shepherd too. While sheep will fear and be intimidated by thieves and bandits who come only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the divine shepherd has an intimacy and familiarity with the sheep. You know, such intimacy and familiarity, they establish deep trust. The sheep can entrust their vulnerability to the shepherd, and it is they, if you pay attention to this passage, it is they who are given the power to choose if they will follow and who they will follow. The power is in the sheep. It's given to them. The authority of the shepherd is only in his or her ability to build trust with the sheep. Unless they trust him or her, they will not follow. They will not give themselves to him or her. The relationship, it has to be based on freedom and trust and love, or it is no relationship worth having. And even more, the sheep trust the love the shepherd has for them because the shepherd is ready to lay down his or her life for them. Someone who's prepared to give it all for you is someone whose love you can trust. Someone who inspires you to give it your all to others, too. You know, that's what happens with these kinds of relationships. If the goal is to build the kinds of relationships that will change the world from domination and mistrust and indifference to things like mutuality of care and concern, if that's the goal, then God as shepherd is the kind of God that inspires this kind of relationship. If the goal is love, the relationship has to be one of love. You know, love, it doesn't force or manipulate or humiliate or control others. Love, in order to be love, has to give freedom to others so that they choose only if their hearts are in the choosing. They can agree or disagree, come or go away. And even though that's a challenge and it makes us vulnerable, love must give that kind of freedom or it is not love. And this brings us to our last reading from Revelation and the most radical of pastoral images for God as Lamb. What's the first and most obvious attribute of God that emerges in contemplating God in Christ as Lamb? Well, it's vulnerability, even weakness. This is a word that Jean Vanier, for example, uses very meaningfully and effectively. Just a little plug there for the book study. Vulnerability, even weakness, that's a lamb. A lamb is vulnerable to predators of all kinds. And what about a slain lamb? In a world of animal sacrifice, okay, a slain lamb, it's familiar. But the slain lamb in this account of Revelation, it's also somehow alive. And not only that, this slain lamb, representing the crucified Jesus, is king and ruler of the most powerful of kingdoms, a kingdom that will last and be victorious once all other kingdoms have fallen away. How can this make any sense at all? I mean, most people reading this who don't understand will say this is a silly, stupid, meaningless story. However, there's something more going on here. To appreciate the radicality of this image, we must appreciate that the popular image of king and ruler in that world then is the Roman Emperor Caesar. Caesar calls himself shepherd and king. Caesar uses that terminology, but his kingdom, you know, it's built on sheer violence and the dominating power of military strength. And so people obey out of fear. And there's a clear hierarchy of superiors and inferiors, and relationships are based on terror. And unless people are made to fear their rulers or crave some of their favor, they will not fall into line. Sounds like much rule in the world too, doesn't it? To declare that the true Messiah, who represents the true God, is a shepherd of a very different kind, and a vulnerable lamb even more so, is to declare that the power of love rules, not the power of power. And love rules because it builds very different kinds of relationships. There's no place for fear, for compliance or obedience out of terror or force or violence or manipulation or threat or judgment, you know, shame people into compliance. Not only does that not work, it works in a surface way, but doesn't really work, but it also destroys relationships and it destroys people. Only love can create the kingdom of God, and only a God who is a lamb is the kind of ruler who opens hearts, not builds walls or crosses. And most importantly, only a lamb who represents the kind of love ready to lay down its life to be slain for the sake of those it rules, only such a one is deserving of worship and praise. Such a lamb alone is trusted to wipe away tears, as our reading says, a very tender passage. Wipe away tears. These are people who have experienced severe state-sanctioned persecution, you know, maybe like the Rohingya or any who have suffered genocidal attacks, maybe those in southern Cameroon as well. You know, trusted such a lamb, such a one, such a ruler is trusted to wipe away tears, to care to feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty. Only such a ruler is trusted to provide shelter and protection. So then, what does this mean for you and me? What kind of God do we need? You know, a part of us, let's be honest, a part of us may crave a God of power and control who can make things happen as we want them, helping us to get this outcome or that behavior from a person, or control this circumstance or that situation to our advantage. But will such power and control to make things happen as we want them give us what we truly need? It won't. What we truly need, if we are in touch with our deeper self, is the kind of relationships with others, with the world, with God, rooted in real love. To have love means we let go any power to control, to force, to manipulate, to impose. We have to let it go. Now, even though there is a place for power and force to protect the vulnerable, thank God for, you know, our police forces when they are protecting the vulnerable, right, and so on. But building relationships means that we have to let go that kind of power, so that intimacy of trust, you know, mutuality of freedom to be, heartfelt giving and grateful receiving, for that to happen, we need to have a very different way of relating. It means that conflict, you know, it has to be dealt with not only by repenting and bringing people to account, it has to include some forgiving, otherwise there's no future. Rather than threatening or pressuring or punishing or retaliating, we know that all too well in our world. So whether it's in our personal lives, our community lives, our work lives, or wherever, what kinds of relationships do we form? That's the confronting question for all of us. What kinds of relationships do we form? Are we prepared to embrace others as they are and as they choose to be, different than us? Or do we find ways to criticize them or pressure them or manipulate them or subtly control them to be as we want them to be? You know, we don't have to be world emperors to be tyrants toward those around us. You know, whether we're aggressive or more passive aggressive, whether we're overtly judgmental or we guilt and shame others to our ways. But if we are to genuinely worship God, as Christ reveals and embodies God, then we have to let go our fear of not being in control and our perverse hunger to have things go our way in a relationship. We have to let it go. We have to let go our desire that others conform to our way of seeing things and doing things. We must give up our narcissistic self-focus, oblivious of what's happening to others around us and what they're going through, really. God calls us to something radically different, to something we are truly made for. And once we begin to purge ourselves of the sin of domination power, let's call it, once we begin to more and more purge ourselves of that, we will be more and more free for something totally different, becoming creatures truly defined by love. You know, love, so familiar a word and yet so little understood. God as shepherd and God as lamb will reorient us to the true meaning of love and to relationships grounded in love. It is this God we need. Amen. Let us pray. Come to us, O shepherd and guardian of our souls. Feed us, O Lamb of God, with your love, so that it is your love we have to share with others. Amen.